I have the pleasure of welcoming back William Berger to FM 91. Will is a radio personality, a producer for the Metropolitan Opera's radio department. He's also an author, a lecturer, a commentator, and he has formulated this incredible experience for folks who are interested in opera. And this is open to just about anybody who has an interest in opera. First of all, Will, thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Brad. Good to be here.
Yeah. I understand you're in New York, but you're outside, right?
I am outside for improved reception on our line here. And as I may have mentioned, I'm in front of the statue of Antonin Dvorak in my little neighborhood park on East 17th and 2nd Avenue. He used to live across the street and wrote some of his most famous works here.
Wow.
So you'll hear some ambient sound of a New York park, which could be any number of things as we speak.
Yeah, well, that's okay. That's all right. We talked about almost 2 months ago about your webinar series, The Epic of Opera, which was a really ambitious webinar that welcomed all kinds of opera stars, talked about the history of opera and so many interesting things involved in that. And now you have a follow-up to it, which really kind of, you know, takes that football and runs with it. This is called Opera and Film, another 8-session, 2-week webinar course that you're offering. And you have guests here, not only opera stars, but you've got people from the film world as well, a really incredible list of folks that are joining
you. Yeah, we do. We do. And we're building off of what we did in the Epic of Opera, where we had a couple hundred people and of various levels of knowledge and interest in opera. And we're just going ballistic after that, because now I'm aiming for everybody, because it's opera and movies, and who doesn't like movies, right?
Yeah.
So whatever you're interested in, we're talking about different ways of telling a story and what they have in common. And I'm more than doubling the number of illustrious guests. Yeah, we have the world's greatest and most legendary even opera singers, like Susan Graham, and Justino Diaz is coming back to us. He was on the Epic of Opera. And then people from the film world. We have screenwriters, producers, film historian, and I even have a famous and notable writer and artist from the comics world, Phil Jimenez.
Wow.
Because he's also really interested in mythologies and communal mythologies, and he's going to be talking with us. So we're just going bigger. It's blockbuster summer, Brad.
Yeah, totally. Well, this whole idea of opera and movies, I mean, people maybe haven't, you know, peeled the layers back very far to really get a sense of opera's effect on film. I mean, you may think of you know, the Marx Brothers, A Night at the Opera, that kind of thing. But you really go in depth into this whole concept of how opera really was film back in the 17th and 18th centuries and 19th centuries especially. And can you talk a little bit about some of the different topics that you're going to bring to the forefront here?
Yes, Brad. And thank you for that, because we're going way beyond opera music and movie soundtrack, although that'll be there. And we're going beyond movies at the opera, like the Marx Brothers, although we're going there too in context, and looking at, well, what is opera and what are movies and where do they overlap? And in a sense, you know, it started, Brad, I was talking about Wagner, as I often do, and talking about the context of his work and how he decided he needed a whole new theater in order to present his operas, because he didn't even want to call them operas anymore. He called them music dramas because he thought they were just so much beyond operas, right?
Yeah.
And so he had a hand in designing this remarkable building that still exists today, the Festival House at Bayreuth, which has all these features like a raked auditorium, and he proposed to turn the lights out, which was quite revolutionary before they had electric lighting even. And everybody watching just the stage instead of each other. And it occurred to me, Wagner invented the movie theater before anybody invented movies. In other words, what Wagner invented in order to present his operas as well as possible was the possibility of what would become movies.
Right.
And he said, I've invented, well, he put the orchestra, the instrumentalists, under the stage. And he said, I've invented the invisible orchestra. Mm. Now I think I should invent the invisible audience.
Wow.
And I thought, maybe he invented television too. Or the internet, or the possibility of those things to emerge. And it got me thinking about the theory of, well, what is opera? And what are movies? And what do they owe to each other? And all this crazy stuff came flying out. And I realized I wanted to talk to, I not only wanted to share that, I wanted to talk to people involved in all aspects of it, from being on the stage to making movies and looking at this. Because what we're getting to, basically, is how the opera house became the movie theater and back again.
Yeah.
So that's, and if that sounds a little out there, the problem is it's actually not out there. It's actually about things we deal with every day. I was talking to, I'm going to name drop here, Brett, Nico Muley, the composer, who will be one of our illustrious guests.
Right.
And I had an episode, and it was titled Opera Theory in Film. And he said, wait a second, that sounds a little kind of academic and out there. And I said, you're right. So let's call it something else. But that is what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Nico Muley. You've also got some other folks on here. Interesting pairings that you have to talk about these different topics. Like your very first session on August 2nd pairs the great tenor Joseph Kalea and the Pulitzer Prize winning composer Du Yun. On the surface, you would think these two people, you know, are pretty far apart, but you're bringing them together under this rubric. Can you talk about some of the pairings and combinations of personalities that you have in this series?
Which is what I love. I mean, I love that in life, just at parties and at work and with interviews and everything, when you get two people that you wouldn't think of together, like Du Yun and Joseph Kalea, who I see a lot in common that they would never know. So I can't wait for that. Also, Du Yun is also a composer who's done film work. So that's interesting. And Joseph Kalea has been in films too. He played Enrico Caruso in a movie. So that's also another interesting corollary. But then we have, I think, Quinn Kelsey, the great baritone.
Yeah.
And Michael Cooper, who is the arts critic for the New York Times, which is a pretty lofty position and pretty interesting one. So one, we have a singer and also a critic who may or may not, I don't even know, have written about that singer.
Right.
So that ought to be fireworks, to put it mildly. When I invited them, I said, now let's see. I'm looking at the schedule and I'm seeing you two together. Are you both okay with that? And they said, yeah, we are. So I don't know what'll happen there. And
well, you've got Isabel Leonard and Alex Ross speaking of great singers with great writers and critics and commentators.
Isabel Leonard is really smart, for one thing. She likes to talk about, what are we doing here? What's the story we're telling? And Isabel Leonard is one of the few people who has interviewed me on a Met Live in HD and at intermission. And so she really is, I know for a fact that she's interested in this whole idea of, what are we doing here? What are the stories we're telling? And Alex Ross is actually an old friend of mine who I've known in New York for I did know in New York for many years. And he has a new book coming out on Wagner, which we're all just really drooling about. I can't wait, because he also has come up with some very interesting original research on context, which is what fascinates me. Mm. And things like, what role did the CIA play in post-World War II Europe in supporting music that wasn't like Wagner in German conservatories for political reasons?
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, are you telling me that late 20th century Pots and Pans music is a CIA plot? And it, I always suspected so. And it turns out that there's evidence to back that up. And that's the sort of digging that Alex Ross can do that I think is really fascinating. So yes, we have a singer and a writer, not a critic, he's a commentator, I think,
right,
together. So you would think, okay, that's just weird on the surface. But they're both people that I find really interesting because they dig into the nature of storytelling.
Yeah.
And that's what we're up to here.
Now, do you know all these people? I mean, are they just your buddies? Because you've got people from the opera world, people from the film world, people from the writing, the commentating world. I mean, are you the common denominator here?
Largely, but not in all cases. Muffy Meyer, who's a producer and a director and a screenwriter, is someone I worked on projects with but never met and was referred to. And she worked on a documentary. She was a producer on The Opera House, which is a great documentary, but also an early, I believe she edited, but she had a credit on Grey Gardens, which is a seminal documentary in the history of filmmaking about Little Edie and the cousins of Jacqueline Bouvier, Kennedy Onassis. I don't know if you remember that. But so she was referred to me, and I've only just met her on the phone. We've been yapping all the way since. So now we're buds. But at different levels of that, yes, people that I've met. Nico Muhly was someone I've worked with distantly and interviewed at the Met. But just when he was talking about new works, and of course, famously, he composed the opera Marnie, which is based on the book, not the movie by Hitchcock, but he had to talk about the movie a lot.
Yeah.
And he said so many interesting things about narrative forms. So yes, I sort of know them to varying degrees. Some are friends. I have one relative.
Really?
I only have one first cousin in the world, and he's a film buff. And I actually was speaking to his wife and saying I really wanted her on here because she's also a screenwriter, a director, a producer, and a novelist.
Wow.
And then she said, well, we should get your cousin Gary on here, too, because he's the best film historian I know. So he'll be joining us as well. But I sort of asked him through an oblique manner through his wife and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So, yes, there are people that I know. And just, it, you know what, Brad? In every case, they were like, I said, this is absolutely the person I want on this. And in many cases, when I had that person's phone number on hand, that was highly convenient. But in other cases, they were every time the right person to talk to for the questions at hand.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, let's make sure that people know how this is all working. You have the website, williamburgerpresents.com. William, spelled like William, Berger, B-E-R-G-E-R, presents. All one word, as you mentioned, .com. That has the archive of your webinar series you did in June, The Epic of Opera. That is there. And then also that is where you're going to archive the opera and film series for folks who can't be at the live sessions. Talk a little bit about how it works technically. Is this a video series?
Thank you. Okay, what happens is we have 8 episodes of live webinars within 2 weeks. And that's a lot. So a lot of people are home now and tune in live, and there is audience join us live.
Yeah.
This will be on Zoom, and there is actually an even higher level of audience participation, Q&A, discussion, and so forth. So it's really fun to tune in live. But that's, you know, 4 episodes a week, weekends and weeknights combined. Not everyone can make all of them. Not to worry, because if you subscribe, you have free access then to either watch or download all of the episodes. That's my presentation, which will have visual components, followed by interacting with our illustrious featured guests, followed by audience participation. All of that is available for free if you subscribe to the live series, which comes out to be very cheap, I might add.
Yeah.
And then, or you could buy it, the whole series, as a recording. But join us live, even if you can't make it all, because some of the live, even if you only make some of it, will be really vivid.
Yeah. Well, there's the excitement of the live presentation. And as you mentioned, you know, bringing some of these guests together, you're not quite sure how they interact. It's like being at a party where you introduce somebody and see if they, you know, how they hit it off, that sort of thing.
Well, that's another thing that's interesting. You know, this is my own initiative here, and it's not FCC, and it is not affiliated with any opera company or any institution. So people have been able to say a lot of things that they weren't able to say, perhaps if you and I were interviewing them at WNYC or at Metropolitan,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And give us a level of realness about what they really think. And during the Epic of Opera, a lot of very, topical issues came out with people. People who were talking about their experience from the Black American perspective, for
yeah.
example, and things that they may not have felt comfortable saying elsewhere. And so that's another reason that I think this is really exciting. And again, we have within our list of illustrious guests, the diversity that we've achieved without even trying. Just these are the right people I want, and I've got a great diversity of experience there, is really exciting and one of the reasons to be a part of this.
Absolutely. Well, the ideas, the information, the guests, the combination of all of it is such an interesting and novel way of approaching both genres, really, of opera and of film. I don't see anything else out there like it. It's also interesting how the pandemic has kind of transformed the way that people like you, who are all about communication and revealing things and discovering connections, how it's affected the way that you interact with the public. I mean, do you see this as the future of where things are going right now?
Hopefully refined version of this.
Yeah.
Because like I said, just what, as far as we've gone from June, from the Epic of Opera to now, I hope we're going to keep evolving. But you know what I was thinking, Brad, when I put this one together? I was looking back when I was a teenager, before I could drive, and during a hot summer, there were times when you didn't get to go anyplace fun, go to camp or on vacation for whatever reason, lack of money or whatever, you had to stay home. What then did you do? Well, I went to summer school and took all the fun electives, like the music classes. And when I could, I went to the movies because they were air-conditioned and they were escapist. So I thought, this is a summer like that. This is a summer of like when I was a young teenager. And we, none of us in America or anywhere, get to do what we thought we were going to do this summer. What shall we do?
Yeah.
So this is what I came up with. It's the fun part of summer school and going to the movies.
William Berger is offering his second live 8-session 2-week webinar course. This one is called Opera and Film. You can find out all about it at his website, williamburgerpresents.com, all one word. We'll link to that from our website as well. I look forward to the next one. I mean, where do you go from opera and film?
I have some ideas. We'll talk.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for joining me today, and best of luck to you with this new webinar course. Can't wait to see how it turns out.
Thank you, Brad. I really appreciate the chance to talk to you about this.